When we as a church, even when we come together, there's something unique that happens when we fill the house with His praises. That's when we begin to see the miracles break loose and we begin to see the sensational power of God begin to manifest in our very eyes. Amen? Before our very eyes. But I want you to know something. We have been handcuffed by something called religion. Religion has put us in a restraint. It's kind of a restraint hold. And religion is never going to bring you to the place where you can hear the voice of God. Matter of fact, religion has taught us to take God and systematically put Him in a box, put Him on a shelf, and only call upon Him whenever we feel that we need Him. But we let God know that I don't want you to intrude in my life. I'll call on you if I have need of your help. That's what religion does. But when you praise Him in spirit and in truth, that is when you are going to discover something about God. You are going to discover that God has so much more up His sleeve that you knew nothing about that He's about to unleash in your direction. Amen? And so I discovered something about God. I discovered something that excited me as I was spending time with the Lord this week. He showed me there's a way to get into God. We many times talk about God being in us, but there's a way for us to get into God. Can you imagine the dynamics of getting into God? How do you get into God? By being true with Him. By praising and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That means continuously. That means taking Proverbs 3:5 and doing just that. In everything, every facet of your life, acknowledge Him, praise Him, magnify Him. Let Him be the one that will be the host that will get the glory as He sets your path straight. When we praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth and magnify Him, you are, and also reading His word, fasting, and sometimes just getting on your face before Him, letting Him know you are not just my Father in heaven, you are my Abba Father, my Daddy, and I'm totally dependent on you. When you get to that place of total dependency, that is when you are going to discover you can get into God. Amen? And when you get into God, you are going to find that there's a vast amount of riches and mysteries that are hidden in God that God wants to reveal intimately to you about your life. Amen? And also, when you get into God, you are going to discover that what God's next course of events are. And Satan doesn't want you to know what God's next course of events are. He doesn't want you to get to see it at all. He doesn't want you to know what God is about to do. That's why he comes, the Bible says, he comes to blind the mind. He tries to deflect you away from seeing what God is doing. Because Satan knows that if by chance you see what God's next activity is that he's about to bring forth, he knows that Satan knows that you're going to make the necessary adjustments of it, of your life, so that you can be not on the tail end of what God is doing, but you are going to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing. And when God begins to unfold his plan upon the earth, you had already foreseen it. He already shared it with you in your heart. And now you're going to be on the cutting edge with God, which means you are going to be the true ambassador of God. When God begins to unfold his spirit on the earth, you are going to be the ones that are going to take the overflow of that anointing of his presence. And you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You are going to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. The lame are going to walk. The mute are going to speak. The deaf are going to hear. The dumb are going to be smart again. You are going to find that God is going to bring glory to his name through you. That's what happens when we get into God. Amen? And of course, Satan doesn't want that at all. Matter of fact, I want you to know that Satan ultimately wants you dead. And if he can't kill you physically, he will kill you spiritually. And we see that Satan, over all of America, now I will only speak of America now, all over America, Satan has used his sword of onslaught against the church. There are many people that are in the churches, come every Sunday, come every Wednesday, but you can see that they have an outward form of godliness, but they have denied the power. You can see that they are absolutely put to sleep, and they are in a seat of complacency where they're dying. We know it, and you can tell it by their language, because their language is they're always talking about the negative. They're talking about the problem. They're talking about the issue that they're dealing with. That's all they ever talk about. They never talk about the goodness of God. They never talk the word of God. And so you can hear it in their language. And everybody, they get into a place where they say, you know what, I can't wait to get out of here. Life is too hard. But God wants you to know, before you ever go home to be with him, you have to learn to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus has given you everything you have need of as a weapon, to raise the weapon, the sword, and fight against the enemy and do a little fighting. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is being taken, Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of God is being taken by force, by forceful men and women who lay hold to it. It's time to fight the good fight of faith. It's time to go into the enemy's camp and let them know. Let them know we're not going to put up with it anymore. Let them know we're taking back everything you stole from us. And the only way that's going to happen, you have to roar. You have to roar. You are a lion's whelp. You are a lion's gathering place. You need to praise and worship and honor your God, even in the privacy of your life. When you do, God will he'll usher to you weapons. He will usher to you His Word. He will give you everything you need. You take His Word, you lift it up, and go into Satan's camp and steal back what he stole from you. We are going to take back what he's done against us, against our children, against our families, against our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our lineage. It's time to take back what the enemy has stolen. Amen? You want to see revival? It starts with praise and it starts with worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All that said, go to Revelation chapter 12. And keep in mind, we're going to be talking about your miracle is on its way. I want to show you a few things. I'm not going to talk to you very long. I want you to get the substance of what I'm about to show you. And I want you to take it home with you. If there's things that you hear, you're not sure of, you can't remember, watch it on the film and you will be blessed because it's okay to have repetition. Watch it over and over again and write down the points that you're in the privacy of your home. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Who is the dragon? The devil, Satan. And his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Satan did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now the question that we hear so many times is, well, what were they doing in heaven in the first place? What was Satan doing in the heavens in the first place? Well, you please understand, Paul the Apostle, let it be known to us that there are three different dimensions of the heavens. The first dimension of heaven is the dimension we can all see. That's where we send our spaceships. You see the stellar system. You see the solar system. We see our stars, our moon, our sun. That's the first level of heaven. The second level of heaven is where we call it the heavenly dimension. It's where a lot of spiritual activity goes on between Satan and the devils and also God's angels. But then there's the third dimension of heaven. It's the highest dimension. And that's where God sits on the throne. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that God the Father, he is part of the Trinity, and God the Father is called the Godhead. And what his job is, he speaks. And when he speaks, he creates. Amen? Isn't that good news? He created you and I by the spoken word. But when God speaks, and he's about to speak into the heart of humanity, God speaks in the form of a mystery. Everybody say a mystery. A mystery means a hidden secret. Why is it that God is speaking in mysteries? Because he does not want the devil to know what he's saying as to what he's going to say to you. Satan doesn't understand the language of God. And the reason why Satan doesn't understand the language of God is because Satan has never, will never, ever, ever, ever be translated out of the kingdom of darkness. You and I have accepted Christ, therefore, you and I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness where we once were into the kingdom of light. Once you are translated into the kingdom of light, now you understand the language of God. But Satan doesn't understand the language of God. Therefore, God speaks to mankind in the form of a mystery. Satan doesn't know what it is God has said to you. But he does know one thing. He knows that if by chance that word that came out of the mouth of God gets to you, gets to mankind, it is going to divinely transform you into a supernatural dynamo powerhouse of a Christian that is going to be able to bring him down. So what he does, he fights against that word day and night. He's constantly fighting against the word of God. But you will find that the angels of God are fighting against him in the second dimension of the heavenlies, in the heavenly place where there's a battle that's going on, and Satan will never, ever, ever prevail, and that word one day will get to the heart of mankind, And when that word gets to you, it is going to come into your heart. It is going to become a revelation. A revelation is a mystery revealed. And now you hear what God has said in the heavens. I want you to catch this. This is all important stuff regarding your miracle. What God has said in the heavens is now revealed to you. Once you hear what God has said to you, a battle takes place in you. Because your mind reasons what God has said. Your flesh resists what God has said. That's why Paul said in Romans 7, he said, I have come to realize there's a battle that goes on within me, the spirit against the flesh. The flesh will always resist what God does. So the flesh resists what God is saying, but your spirit will say yes to what God is saying. Now, even though you may not have full understanding of what the revelation was, but as you continue to bask in that, in the Word of God, and you continue to pray and praise and worship, then one day that revelation will become a full illumination. When it becomes a full illumination, you are going to discover that at that moment of time, you are going to have an effect upon you. It's going to affect your thinking. It's going to affect your walking. It's going to affect your talking. It's going to affect what you do. In other words, you are going to think supernaturally. You are going to act supernaturally. You are going to walk supernaturally. You are going to move supernaturally. You are going to move in position and operate in authority like you've never had before. Amen? Now, why is this happening? A lot of people say, well, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I thought, why is there a war in the heavens in the first place? I thought God wins already. God wins in the end. Yes, He does. And so do we. So what's the war about? The war is about God bringing truth to the church. God's bringing His Word to the church. And when He gives His Word to a people that are truly praising Him and worshiping Him, and He's able to descend upon them because He inhabits your praise, and He begins to speak to you, He wants to give you vital information. He wants to unleash to you weapons so that you will become overcomers here on this earth. And so you come to find that when God speaks, He is going to give you more authority, more power, and more supernatural insight. Amen? And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. Why is God speaking? I thought He gave us His Word already. I thought every word that He was ever going to speak to humanity, He gave it to us in the Word of God, in the Bible. No, that's not so. That's not so. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 12, He said these words. And I want you to hear, because I think a lot of people, myself included, I never understood the true impact of what Jesus said to His disciples until this week. He really revealed it to me. And it's this. He said to the disciples, He said, I still have many things to say to you. I have so many things to say to you. In the NIV, I think it says, I have much more to say unto you. But for now, you cannot bear it. You cannot bestutzo it. The word bestutzo means it's not relevant for you. And when He said, I have much more to say unto you, the word you is plural. So what He was saying to the disciples, I have much more to say, but everything that I needed to say to you, I've already said it to you. And I've given you my word with an anointing upon my word, which will be enough light for you to overcome the principalities of your generation. Amen? But He's going on and He says, therefore, I have much more to say, but for you it's of no relevance. But if you remember what He said in John chapter 10, He said, but I have sheep in other sheep pens that I must go to. The sheep pens He's talking about are generations of time. And the sheep are those who had yet to be born yet. That's you and I. So even though Jesus spoke to His disciples and notified them, I gave you every weapon you will need so as to be able to overcome any principality that will try to offend you in your lifetime. But how many of you know that in this lifetime, we are fighting against principalities that our forefathers never had to deal with? Catherine Coleman, A. Allen, Smith Wigglesworth, Cole, all the others, even Paul the Apostle, didn't have to fight the principalities and the influence of power that they're coming against us with. They never had to deal with that. But Jesus has given us His Word with enough armor of light that we can overcome the principalities in our day. Why is it Satan is so strong? Because he knows that his time is short. Therefore, he's very furious. That's why he's coming and he's hitting us with everything, including the kitchen sink. Amen? So you come to find that Jesus has given us everything we will need. How are you going to receive it? By praising Him and worshiping Him. by roaring, by being the true lion. You know, when a lion roars, you know what they do? They tell other lions, this is my turf. This is my turf. And they tell other lions, if you come on my turf, I have the authority and power and influence. I'm going to take you out. That's what you and I need to do. We need to recognize that when we praise and roar, worship, we are roaring. We are letting the enemy know, don't you dare come on my turf. Don't you dare think that you're going to take and steal from me. Not going to happen any longer, because it's not by my might. It's not by my power. It's by His Spirit. And I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to allow for Him to descend upon me. I'm speaking to myself now too. I'm not giving something to you that I don't need to hear. God is speaking to me too. We need to let God be God, descend upon us, influence us, and be the power and might behind us, that the enemy will not be able to corral us again and put us in these little cages, these little cliques called a church. We are to be the true church of God. Go out into the highways and the byways and bring influence to a dying nation. That's what God is intending for us. Amen. Back to Revelation chapter 12. And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. I want you to catch the scenario here. God is speaking from His throne. He brings a word to the heart of humanity. That word is in the form of a mystery. Satan is now biting his nails. He doesn't want that word to get to humanity. So he fights against that word day and night to try to deflect that word from getting to the heart of man. But here you come to find that the angels of God are stronger than the angels that are there with Satan, and the angels of God have won. And now Satan has lost the battle. He has not prevailed. He has been cast out of heaven to never, ever return again. And once he has been cast out of heaven, there is a great loud voice in the heavens. What is that voice? It is a victory cry. It's a victory cry. And with that victory cry, Jesus said in verse 10, comes four things that will begin to happen. When that victory cry goes on, after Satan has been defeated, four things begin to take place. Now, everybody say now. Now means from this moment forward to never go backwards. Now hear me what I just said. From this moment forward to never go backwards. Now, salvation. Now, strength. Now, the kingdom. Where's verse 10? Now, salvation. Now, strength. Now, the kingdom of our God. And now, the power of His Christ has come. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to you if I didn't break it down. Let me tell you what that's all about. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, you and I, we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. There was a time you and I were walking down the wrong road. You and I were heading down a very wide road that Jesus said many will find. It's the wide road leading to eternal damnation. We were on our path. We were set. We were moving out. And we enjoyed it to the end. I mean, when I went to the bar and I did my thing, it wasn't that I was grumbling and said, I got to go to the bar tonight. No, sin is pleasurable for a season. And so we got into it. We did our thing. And we were going down this path and we were having a good time. We were whistling all the way. But God had His eyes on you. God knew you before time began and desired that you would be part of His regime. So what did God do? God inspired the heart of another human being to begin to pray for you. You and I are here because of the prayers of a saint who prayed for us. Amen? And so you come to find God laid it on the heart of a human being, a saint of God who's already in the kingdom, and they heard the voice of God come to them, and they were inspired, and they began to pray for you. Maybe you know who they are, who they were. Maybe you don't even know. But the truth of the matter is, here's what happened. They were so awestruck, having heard the voice of God, they would go and they would share what God said to them with others that were mature. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says we are to take the revelation and we are to share it with those who are mature. So here, the person heard the voice of God to pray for you. They went and shared what God had said to them. Others gathered with them, and now there's the prayer of agreement. God moves where there is agreement. Amen. If two agree touching anything on earth, it will be given unto you by my Father which is in heaven. So you come to find the prayers of those saints praying for you was strengthening the angels of God with authority, with power, with clout. And here God has spoken word coming your way. You're still on the road going down to hell. You don't even know that there's a battle for your soul. But now the fight's going on in the heavenly places, and the angels of God, because of the saints of God that are praying, they are empowered. They win. Satan is removed. That word comes. A revelation comes to you. When that revelation comes to you, now salvation came to you. Now strength. It is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives within you. You have the Spirit of the living Christ that is now the one that's concerting your life. Now, the kingdom of our God, which means you come to realize once you've accepted Christ, you are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness heading to hell. You are a part of the kingdom of light, that you are walking toward the narrow road that is leading to eternal salvation. And now the power of his Christ has arrived. Erkomae is the actual Greek word, which means the power of God will come from that dimension in heaven to this dimension on earth, which actually means there that now that you are a born-again believer, you can take the name of Jesus and you can use his name as power of attorney. Whatever you need, whatever you ask in my name, it will be given unto you. Amen? So you come to see the influence of what God has for you and I. Because once that all happens, once you come to realize that there is a great move where God has saved you, he has strengthened you with his spirit, he has now brought you into the kingdom of God, he has given you the name of Jesus Christ, there's no stopping you. There's no stopping you, amen? Now, how is this all possible? Well, verse 10 tells us, it says, because of the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Where did he get cast down to? To heaven. Satan is now on the earth, not allowed to go back into heaven. Amen? And now that he's on the earth, he's absolutely infuriated with who? With the saints who were praying for you. Because he sees that they are the intercessors. He sees that they were the starting point of where the power was given for the angels of God to battle against him. And so he's going to go after the intercessors. He's going to go after those who are sold out to God, who are literally understand how to roar, what it means to be a lion's gathering place. And he's going to go after them and he's going to try to bring them down. But the word of God says, but they will overcome Satan and his principalities. How? It says here, by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, verse 11, by the word, say the word. By the word of our testimony, for they love not their lives unto death. And then it goes on in verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens. Rejoice, O heavens. What that is, that's a victory cry. Regarding everyone that was involved in the battle, have the privilege to now rejoice. Not only God, not only the angels of God, but also the saints that were praying for you. When they see the dynamic transformation of what has transpired in you, they begin to shout with joy. The angels of God are shouting with joy because now you have come into the fold as a member of God's kingdom. And God himself has a smile and he has peace and joy in his heart because you have come and you have joined the group as his kingdom ownership and also as a member of the army of God. Amen. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. And it goes on and says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Talking about the unsaved people that are here. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. Everyone say he has a short time. And we're believing that the shortness of his time is on a micro leash. That we're going to see that God is about to do something phenomenal. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And again, we're talking about your miracle is on its way. I want you to see why you haven't received it yet. But just be patient. Just be patient. Amen? Transformation. When the Word of God comes to you, you become divinely transformed. When you receive what God speaks, when He speaks into your heart, and you hear His voice, there will be a divine transformation. Transformation is the most exciting thing that will ever take place in your Christian walk. Transformation means that your realm of authority has been broadened. In other words, God, every time that He speaks to you and every time that you get a hold of the Word of God, you are going to find and discover that the anointing upon your life is going to grow and grow and grow. Look at chapter 12, verse 25. Here it says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth?" Everybody say, God speaks on earth. "Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." Everyone say, God speaks from heaven. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, once more, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." So this, when we looked at Revelation chapter 12, and we came to find the war that was going on in heaven, where Satan and his angels were in the heavenly places fighting against that word, there was a great shaking that was going on there, amen? And also there was a great shaking with the intercessors that were on the earth. There was a great shaking that was going on with them, because the devil was going to try to upend them, going to try to destroy them. So you come to find that there is a great shaking. And I found something out about God. I found that God moves where there is agreement. God moves where there is agreement. What we just read here, the voice of God is shaking the heavens. And the voice of God needs to shake the earth. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If God's voice begins to shake the heavens because of the battle that's going on in the heavens against the mystery of His Word, I want you to know that there's going to be a voice on the earth that is necessary to receive the revelation and become the voice of God on the earth. And once you become the voice of God on the earth and you speak out what God tells you to say, it is going to shake the foundation of hell. And it's going to drive away the image that Satan gives. And you are, as you open up your mouth and speak what God speaks, it is going to now bring forth the image of God. You follow me? And let me tell you this. God can speak as much as He wants, as often as He wants. But if there's not a human being with flesh on that has vocal cords, that doesn't have the boldness to open up their mouth and become the voice of God, everything that God says does not have to come to pass, because God uses mankind to come together and join together with Him. So God is looking for somebody to come together in agreement with Him. And once you open up your mouth and you begin to speak what the revelation was that came into your heart, then you become the voice of God and you will follow. And this is what God, what Jesus meant when He said to Peter, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." When you hear what my Father has given you, remember what Peter said? Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." My Father's words came down to you, and now you opened up your mouth and you said that I am the Christ. Now you have bound the image of Satan that has brought corruptness to the reality that I am the Christ. And now you unleash the image that, yes, I am who you say that I am. And therefore, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you bind the powers of darkness by releasing God's word, you are releasing the image of God and you are binding the image of Satan. You understanding this? I'm going to give you a great example. I could give you many wonderful examples, and I know that my son Michael and my daughter, who's not here, but they were with me when they were children, and they witnessed a lot of the prophetic words that went out in the day, and it came to pass. I take no glory for that. I'm the donkey that God used. I was willing, as I told you, I praised and I worshiped and I praised and I worshiped, and God began to reveal to me what my ministry was going to be about long before I ever packed a suitcase. And as I continued to grow in the ministry, He began to grow and groom me with a stronger call of prophecy. They saw the recognition of what happened when God would speak through me. It would bind the image that somebody was sick or desperate or destitute, and it would release an image of health, prosperity, whatever. Tumors disappeared. Sickness went away. And again, it wasn't me. It was Christ in me, not my power, my might, my genius. It was nothing to do with it. It was His Spirit. And I could tell you many of the records of things that have happened, but maybe it wouldn't impact you as much because you weren't there. But I am going to tell you something that you all saw. When we had a time when Linda Thompson was here. Anybody here when she was here? And she came to the front, and I didn't know her. She didn't know me. She was only here one time. She lives about a mile and a half up the road here. Hadn't been in church for 10 years. She came in. She had a brain aneurysm, inoperative brain aneurysm. Came to the front, and God didn't tell me what the problem was. That wasn't the beginning of it. But when I asked her, what do you want prayer for? As soon as she opened up her mouth and said, I have a brain aneurysm. They can't operate. Immediately, God inspired my heart. I heard the revelation, and I said to her, and you've had it for 5 years. Now understand, I don't know her from Adam. So for those words to come out, her eyes got like saucers. She wanted to know, how did you know that? I said, well, that's for another discussion. But I was able to tell her that God said, you are going to be totally healed. You don't have to worry about a thing. Well, she goes, now listen, after I gave her the word, she went down on the floor. You know why? Because the voice of God shook not only the heavens to get that word into me to give to her, but it shook the foundation of hell as to what she was standing on. She was standing on a false image. You follow me? She gets up, goes back to her seat. The next day or so, she goes and she receives an MRI, I believe it was, or a CT scan. And they found that the brain aneurysm went from 6 centimeters down to 2 centimeters, which is unheard of. Okay, the doctors were amazed by that. But then it got to the point where several months later, they checked her out again, couldn't find it at all. Why? Because the voice of God shook the heavens and the voice of God shook the earth. If you will be bold enough, when you hear what God is saying to you, open your mouth and say it, you are going to see the definition of what God has said. And don't take it ever so lightly, because that word went through a fire. It went through a battle to get to you. And God is intending that you are His ambassador. Open your mouth and speak it, whether it be for your own life or for somebody in your family or somebody in the workplace. Because as you speak it, you're going to bind the image of Satan and release the image of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So with all that said, I want you to turn. We're going to close with this. Daniel chapter 10, starting with verse 1. It said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In other words, Daniel understood nothing. Understood nothing. Daniel heard the voice of God, but all he could understand is what his mind was reasoning. That's all he could understand, okay? And he goes on and says, in those days, verse 2, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks, 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel stinketh. All right, verse 4. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. And obviously, this is an angel, okay? His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Like the voice of a multitude. This angel, because Daniel had set his heart to understand, was now a roaring lion, praising, worshiping, and honoring God. I won't eat nothing. I'm not going to wash. I'm not going to anoint myself. I have my total focus, Lord, on you. I need to hear your words. Hear what you have to say regarding this situation that I'm living in. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord brought the words that he needed to hear. The word of God says in Psalm 150, blessed are you, Psalm 120, blessed are you, O his angels, for you follow his word to fulfill it. The angels of God will bring the word of God for revelation to come into your heart. Amen. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. When God speaks to you, he's not going to speak to anyone else but you. God is so intimate, he's looking for you to praise me. He's looking for you, worship me. He's looking for you in all things, at all times. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in me. Acknowledge me. Magnify me. And see if I don't come and give you what you need to have so as that I can make your path straight. So you come to find that God will give you exactly what you need, not what they need, but what you need because he's an intimate God. And here, God will give you a weapon for a battle you haven't even seen yet. That's how God works. He prepares you for an onslaught you didn't even know was coming. But God, who knows the beginning, the middle, and the end of all things, he knows what you're going to go through, and he also armors you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it goes on and says, and I, Daniel, verse 7, alone saw the vision, for the men who were there with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon me, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor, my strength was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. In other words, his body could not handle the word that was coming. Remember, your flesh refuses. Amen. Verse 9. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face. Sounds like some people in the church here. And with my face to the ground, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. You talk about fear. Amen. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. How many of you realize that when God greets you and he greets me, he doesn't greet us and see us the way we see ourselves. He sees us the way he sees us in the future. That's why he said, oh man, greatly beloved. Do you remember in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, when the angel of the Lord was bringing words to Gideon, and he comes upon Gideon and he says, greetings, O mighty man of war. And Gideon, he unleashes on this angel. He said, what are you talking about? What you talking about? He said, listen, where's the power? Where's the influence? Where are the miracles that were promised to us? Look at us. We're devastated. Midianites all around us. We're about to die. And you're saying that I'm a man of war? I haven't even killed a pissant today. And you're saying I'm a man of war? I don't understand this. He said, my father is his tribe is the least of the tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the least in my father's house. And you're saying I'm a man of war. It doesn't make sense. And the angel said, whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. So listen, I like that might of yours. Go in that might of yours. You might have a bad attitude, but you carry the right language because you carry my word. You go in the battle and you do exactly what I was told to tell you to do, and you are going to have victory. And you know the story. Gideon went into battle with only 300 men against some 300,000 Midianites, and he overcame. Because, see, when God tells you to do something, it may not make any sense, but you do it anyhow. Amen? You do what he tells you to do. So finally it says here, Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, from the very first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, the word humble means you are totally submitted to God, you are praising and worshiping. The moment that you began to roar, the moment that you began to recognize that you praise and worship God and bring him into the situation, from the very first day you humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. I have come because of your word. Your words went to heaven. God the Father, because of your submitted, broken, totally dependent attitude on God the Father, he saw the submissiveness of your heart. So your words went to heaven, which activated God. He got up off his throne. Now he's bringing words to you, and I, his angel, am carrying those words to you. Amen? But it all happened the moment you set your heart to understand. The moment you totally surrendered and submitted yourself, that's when the war breaks loose in the heavenly places. If you're just play acting with God, there's no war because there's no words coming to you. You hearing me, church? If you're play acting with God, there's no revelation coming your way. If you're only coming and wanting to enjoy the appetizer on a Sunday morning, and you don't get into the Word on your own, and you don't praise, and you don't worship, there's nothing coming your way. And then you're just going to squander on your own until you finally say, I've had enough, and you totally surrender and submit and humble yourself before your God. Amen? But we come to find this exchange between man speaking to God and God bringing words to man has been going on for thousands of years. And Satan hates that. He hates it because he knows that when man humbles themselves and is praising and worshiping and totally submitted to God, and they are totally wanting God to do something to intervene on their behalf, and God begins to move and God begins to bring words, Satan knows that if those words by chance get to the heart of a man or a woman, they are going to be a supernatural, dynamic, powerful source that's going to break him down and break his kingdom down. So he's going to come and he's going to hit them with everything he can, because he knows that once that word gets to you, you are going to be a supernatural human being. That's when you are going to walk supernaturally, talk supernaturally, so on and so forth. Satan hates supernatural people. He hates them. He likes clever people. He likes logical people. He likes dignified people. Likes religious people. But he doesn't like supernatural people. Because, see, supernatural people, they do something a little different that he doesn't like. Supernatural people, they don't care what's going on all around them. They know that they submitted themselves to God. They know that they've asked God. They called on God to help them. And because of that, they've learned they're going to wait on the Lord. They know that while they are waiting on the Lord, God is going to renew their strength. They are going to rise up and they're going to get on the wings of eagles. They're going to soar. They're going to run and not grow tired. They're going to walk and not grow weary. They're going to wait on the Lord. And as they're waiting on the Lord, instead of them saying, oh my God, did you hear what the doctor said? Oh my God, did you hear what the financier said to me? Oh my God, the attorney said I'm going to lose everything. Instead of that, they turn around and they praise. Instead of that, they turn around and they worship. They begin to dance. They begin to shout. They begin to give glory to God. They begin to thank him in advance. And because of doing that, Satan goes nuts, because that's not how he wanted you to respond. He wanted you to respond like the rest of the world, like the unbelievers. But when you respond totally different, it will drive the enemy away. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, verse 12. For the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael and one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. He said, the angel said, I was on my way from the first day you set your heart to understand. It took me 24 days to get here. The reason why is because the prince of Persia tried to stop me. Prince means principality. The principality of Persia was in the heavens fighting me. Why? Because the word that God was going to give to Daniel had a lot to do with the restoration of the Persian culture. And the principality of that district, of that legitimate area, did not want anything to do with what God was going to do. I want you to know that there are demons over every area in Beaver County. This area where we are at, where this church is at, there are jurisdictional powers that are here. And God has placed us here that if we will stop play acting with God, becoming the true church of God, praising Him and worshiping Him Monday through Saturday in our own lives, and then coming together and enforcing that attitude of praise and worship, we are going to hear the voice of God like you've never heard the voice of God before. And because of that, you are going to then be able to take what God is saying and go out there into the highways, into the streets, into the neighborhood, and we are going to be able to take down those jurisdictional powers, those principalities. They will have no governorship over any of these people. The blinders will be taken off of them, and it's only going to be happening through you. Amen? So we come to find that the angel of the Lord says, I was on my way from the first day that you set your heart to understand, but the principality of Persia stopped me, and therefore I needed to have further help from Michael and the other angels that were there with me. I want you to know that from the moment that you set your heart to understand, because maybe you are in need of a healing. Well, the principality of sickness is going to try to bombard you, combat you, because he doesn't want you to see what God's going to do, because there's a healing virtue that God is going to bring. You're looking for a miracle, and maybe you haven't received that miracle, and you're wondering, where's God? Did God forsake me? Has God forgotten me? I've been praying for months. I've been praying for decades or whatever. And you say, well, where's God? I want you to know the whole reason why I was giving this to you. I wanted you to know that your answer to your prayer is on its way. If you have been praying, and you have been praying out of a heart of praise and worship, recognizing that you are a lion, in the tribe, a little lion as part of the major lion of the tribe of Judah, and you begin to praise and you begin to worship and you begin to let the enemy know, this is my turf and you are not going to invade and you are not going to steal from me. You are not going to take me out premature. You are not going to steal my money, steal my household, steal my family, steal my marriage. You're not going to take it, and I'm going to take it all back. The only way you can take it back is when you are praising and worshiping. When you start to open up your heart to have an understanding of what God is going to do, come on up, Michael. When you have an understanding of what God is going to do, that is when you are going to see resolve. That is when you have to stand true and you have to recognize that the answer to your prayer is on its way. But there are demons in the heavenly places that are fighting that word to get to you. Once that word gets to you, you have the word, the image of God, of what God has given to you. Open up your mouth and begin to speak it. You will drive away the image of Satan. You will now manifest the image of God in your life. And you give God thanks and praise before you ever see anything happening. You begin to thank Him for the things you have yet to see. Instead of talking about the negative, that's a death threat. That's a death language. Because you're always talking about what this says, what the doctor says. No! Quit doing that. Start speaking what God is saying. Start speaking what God says to you, not just out of God's word. You have to speak what God is saying to you, spirit to spirit. That's what it means to worship, praise, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. What God is, whatever God is saying to you personally, privately, intimately, He wants you to open up your mouth and become His voice. And as the woman who had the brain aneurysm completely gone, He wants to bring healing to your situation as well. And He says, you have my word, nigh thy mouth and in thy heart, and on thy tongue. All you have to do is open your mouth and speak it. And when you do, you have the medication from heaven to bring resolve to your situation. Amen. I want you to stand with me. I just want to take a moment, and I want to encourage, and I want to strengthen some of you. I believe some of you have never truly, ever, 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 really praised and worshiped through to ever truly hear the voice of God. And if you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are missing out on one of the greatest components of being His child. That you could hear His voice and hear the sweetness of His tone. And you will take a hold of what it is that He says to you, and it will be armored. The words He gives you will be armored with enough light to overcome anything that the enemy is trying to throw your way. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to open up the altar. If you want prayed for, If you want me to pray with you in agreement, God moves where there's agreement, that we are going to take the name of Jesus and we are going to apply His name to the circumstance of your life. And we are going to see that there is going to be a change. There is going to be a change. How many of you are ready for change? How many of you really want to see a change? A breakthrough.